who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go to the book of Acts. I want to talk about a life that counts. How many in 2007 says, you know, I'd like to really have a life that counts. Something that's significant. Something that matters in this life. And, you know, when you have a gift, whatever your gift is, you need to work on that gift and hone that gift. I saw Miss Donna over here wiping tears because Alicia and AQ had worked on their gift. And God had flowed through them in music. And so whatever God's gifted you to do, work on that gift and make a life that counts. Because someday we're all going to stand before God and give an account of what we have. And the Bible says whatever we've done for the Lord and whatever we've done through the leading of the Holy Spirit will go through the fire and we'll be rewarded for it. I don't know about you, I'd just like to have a big mansion because it would represent a well-spent life. Because, you know, God always is giving according to what we're doing. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you give in abundance, you will reap in abundance. And so, I'd like to have a great big mansion just because of what it would represent. That I've, my life, I made it count while I was here on this earth. We're kind of, if you're visiting today, we sort of go back to the first of the year in January, and we get a front-end alignment. You know, sometimes when you take your car in, I just put new tires on my truck, and luckily, you know, where I go, and I usually do the speed limit at least. How about you? How many is glad we're living under grace? You know what I'm saying? But I usually do the speed limit at least. And then there's people like my wife that always gets up late. And so she's always speeding. Y'all pray for my wife, okay? I told her this morning after choir, I said, honey, you need to step up a little. You've been late a couple. I know. She just born, you know. Abraham, she mentioned that yesterday. There's always one mate that's always wants to be early, and there's always one of the other spouses is always just wants to be there on time and is usually late. And that can cause problems. One of the greatest days of my ministry was when I figured out we had two vehicles and I didn't have to wait on her to go to church. It's a revelation. It was awesome. And then there was this transitioning time because what happened was the first Sunday I said, and I made her aware, I said, did you realize we have two vehicles and I'm going to take mine next Sunday if you're not ready? Okay, I'll be ready. And so the first Sunday or two, I'll never forget, I say, I'm leaving, just give me 5 minutes. I said, no, I'm leaving. This is not a warning. This is, I'm leaving. Well, it wouldn't, you know, she's just putting on and doing, you know, trying to get ready. And so there was that little transition time we still had to have. But finally, we broke over that hump. And so, kind of like Dave was talking about yesterday, how many's ever come to church? And it's like, and you get out of your truck, well, good morning, how are you? You know, don't touch me. Hi, how are you? But that was a great revelation to us that we had two cars and we could be our best. Then she could be her best and I could be my best if we just took two vehicles. It's not maybe the best stewardship because it takes a little more gas, but it just paid big dividends. You know, look at what you're investing in this year is what we were told yesterday. What are you spending your life doing? Does it count? Well, if it's a relationship. And I love what Dave said yesterday about, he said he took his wife to a really, really expensive restaurant and he said it's a great investment though because it's investing in the woman that I love. See, now that's a good investment. So whatever you're doing every day, we have to ask ourselves, does this really count? And just think of it this way. You're giving your time away today for this. Time that you can never recover. And you're spending your time, these few moments, this hour, this half day, this day, on something that you can never recoup again. And what are you spending your time and giving your life for? What kind of investment, what kind of trade-off is there? And what I want to talk to you today about, I think, is a great time of an investment. You know, our second statement on our mission statement says to faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you turn it over on our purpose statement, says get lost people found. And how many knows that's how you get lost people found, is you communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you do that by your actions. Sometimes you do it by your reactions. Because you don't act like the world. You act like Christian. When it comes a time when you could easily be offended, you're not offended. You just keep on loving, and the world looks at you and looks at me and says, what is the matter with you? Maybe they didn't hear me. I'll say it again. And they say it again, and they see a different response. And what I found out, when I used to be in construction, and God had called me, began to call me to ministry and stuff, but I was still had a masonry crew and had my own business here in town, and so I worked around construction workers a lot. And what I found was this, when I came across a construction worker, one of the, I call them rednecks, you know, real hard nose and things, and they would be a little snidey with me, or, you know, just kind of a little hateful, and you just show them love, and you don't change your attitude, they don't know how to deal with that. They don't know what to do with unconditional love. And so if we're going to be a light and a witness, it's going to take some unconditional love, isn't it? If we're going to communicate the gospel in a way that's glorifying God and edifying to those that we're communicating to. And so that is what I'd like to kind of start off with. In Acts, the second chapter, it says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Everybody knows that's a struggle right there, just trying to get the church in one place in one accord. Here's the way to do that. Just do everything the pastor tells you. How about doing everything Jesus tells you? And then when we disagree, how about we disagree in love? How about we just say, you know, I totally disagree with that, but I sure do love you. They're one accord in one place. Listen, if we can't come and be a witness in light, be in one accord in one place, we're not much of a witness or a light, are we? Doesn't mean we're going to agree on everything. How many believes, let's take a survey, how many believes when Jesus comes, the rapture comes, we're going to be raptured out of here before the great tribulation? Let me see your hand. Are you afraid or just ignorant? Come on, how many believe, raise it on up, you believe we're going to be raptured before the great tribulation? If I believe that, I'd be more sure of that. I'd be, yes, sir, I'm going. Now, how many believe it'll be in the middle of the Great Tribulation? Let me see your hand. There's a few of us. How many that's like me and believes that the middle of tribulation hopes the first group is right? And I've already covered that with a prayer and said, Lord, if I'm ignorant, don't leave me. I want to go with the group that says it's right before the Great Tribulation. I might be dumb, but I'm not proud. Just take me in the first low, whenever that is. Whenever that is, see? But if you believe that, and then how many, is there anybody? Because I know Bible scholars, Dr. Walter Bartnett used to be on the Bible Answer Man. He believed that we would go all the way through the tribulation. And fact is, you can see saints in the great tribulation. After the moon's dark and the sun, or the sun's dark and the moon's turned to blood, you can still see there's saints here. I happen to believe that that's some the Jews, the 144,000 that was has seen the church taken out, the Holy Spirit reveals to them who Jesus is, and He'll take care of them. That's my personal opinion. But I think there will be, but I believe this, there is a possibility. I think the church will go all the way through the tribulation. What if people like Dr. Walter Martin is right? And what I'm saying this is to say, let's get in one mind and one accord in our church. If you disagree with somebody, maybe you disagree with your youth pastor. You know, if you're like Haley, her youth pastor is her youth pastor and her daddy. She's got a double whammy there to disagree with. Double loving, but double disagreement, huh? And so if if that is if there's something that you staunchly disagree with, you know, and the first of all, ask, is it false doctrine that you believe? I was sitting in a hermeneutics class a couple of weeks ago, and the professor said, you need to study, and they're teaching how to break down scripture and all, and it's a math class, you know, and she says, you need to know what the Bible says, because I caught my pastor in saying two things in sermons that's wrong. And she went on talking, and I said, excuse me. She said, yes. I said, what did you tell your pastor? She said, I didn't tell him nothing. I said, you mean you caught your pastor saying two things that's wrong doctrinally, and you didn't mention it? I said, don't you want to help your pastor? How many of us, if you catch me saying something that's doctrinally wrong, just tell me. You might love on me first. Tell me, I sure love you, Pastor, but let me show you something that you said that's just wrong. Because I'm not going to get it all right. You're not going to get it all right. Every singer don't hit every note. Is that right, Quinn? Every praise team don't hit every tag on the end like we did today. But we need to be able to admit it when we're wrong. You know, I know I'm wrong, but I'm not going to let them prove it. And try to adjust the scripture. And so I said, you didn't love your pastor enough? And she said, I said, well, what was it? What did? And she told me, and I said, it's about breaking curses. She said, no, he believes that if you and I get saved and there's still generational curses, that every person needs broken. She said, I don't believe that. Don't believe the Bible teaches that, because the children are not under the bondage of the parents and so forth, and grace, every man's his own. And I said, well, that's not wrong doctrinally if you take in. I said, you just disagree, basically, then, is what you're saying. Because she said, I'm not sure if I believe it. I said, but she had just made a statement. He said two things wrong from the pulpit. And what she meant was, he had said two things from the pulpit she disagreed with. And he'll never know. But if I say something wrong, correct me. If you say something wrong, I'll try to correct you. That's why, how many knows we're in pursuit of truth, not vain glory. Huh? We're in pursuit of truth.
That's right.
One place and one accord. Let's make that our goal for our church. Be one place and one accord in 2007. Amen. And if there's something I preach and you disagree with like that, just say, poor old ignorant pastor. Bless him, Lord. Give him information and light in Jesus' name. And I'll do the same for you when I hear you talking about something I disagree with. Now, if it's false doctrine, let's confront each other in love and make it right. One place, one accord. Look over at your neighbor and say, I sure do love you. Sure do love you. Oh yeah. One place, one accord. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon part of them. It sat on how many? Each of them. I mean, those are the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. One of our grandsons asked Jana the other morning, I guess yesterday morning, we was having breakfast, and he said, do you believe in ghosts? She said, I believe in the Holy Ghost. He said, what? We call it the Holy Spirit, you know. And that's correct, but, you know, it's just odd to hear the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost and fire, you know, the Bible talks about. He says, I believe in the Holy Ghost. And so we got to explain what the Holy Ghost was, and I thought that was pretty cool. But had one for each of them. Didn't leave anybody out. One for each of them. They sang about a blessing with your name on it. One for each of them. Had a Holy Ghost for each of them. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to empower you. He wants to empower you to be a witness. To be a light. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, that you shall receive power if the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be a witness in the light. The reason he empowers us is to be a witness and a light. Not so we show off, or I've got it now, I've spoken tongues. You know, it's to be a witness and a light. He's saying, I'm going to give you some fuel so you can, I want you to take this fuel, and the mileage I want you to get out of this fuel that I put in you is I want you to spend it on souls, being a witness and a light. God's going to put something in you. What's He going to put it in you for? So you can be a witness and a light. Honestly, I believe me and you, the both of us, need to witness more than we do. Because we get busy. One of my New Year's resolutions is to unbusy my life more. My wife said, you're not happy if you're just not doing something all the time. That means like me. You just got to be busy all the time. If I don't have something to do, I'll look for something to do. What if we concentrated a lot of that energy and effort on saying, because see, how many knows where they were? They were in the upper room and they've been praying for 10 days. So if we're going to faithfully communicate the gospel, the first thing we need to do is pray. Prayer is what triggered all of this happening today. Prayer is where they've been. And here's what they were in the upper room, because they didn't know. How many knows when you go out during the day, and you may work with the same people day after day, but how many, this is what I've discovered. You can work with the same people day after day, but you never know which one God wants to touch on this day. Because all the people that's working around you go through different things. They're at different stages and different areas in their life are changing constantly. The only consistent thing I think on this earth is change. My hair's getting thinner. Change. My waist is harder to maintain. Change. All you that's under 30 and you think it's hard for your weight, just wait till you get over 30.
Amen.
Change. It just comes. You get wrinkles. I got wrinkles. For years I'd call myself, this kid and this it, and one day my wife said, Jack, you're not a kid anymore. You need to quit using that phrase. Change. Change. And I said, well, I'm God's kid. I'll keep using it if I want to. I'm God's kid. I mean, compared to Christ, I'm young. He's old. But they're praying. They're praying, they're seeking the face of God for somebody else, for God's purpose, for God's will. And if we're going to be a faithfully communicate the gospel effectively, we need to pray and seek God's will. Who is it that you want me to touch today? Who is it that's having problems today? And don't take for granted that you just know how they are. It may be me someday that God says, you need to call and encourage the pastor. He's discouraged. It may be somebody, your boss at work, that says you need to call and or go over and just lay hands on them and pray for them. Because leaders, we always have to be tough and loving and leading and encouraging, and that's what God called us to do. But sometimes we just need a touch. And you can know that if you pray. I like the story of the little boy that had become a Christian and loved God and had faith. He was getting ready to go say his bedtime prayers. He said, I'm getting ready to pray. Y'all need anything? Huh? We should feel like that. I got a great compliment the other day. I was talking to my sister. And she said, you remember when I had cancer? And they came in and when she saw me, I never thought about this reaction, but she saw me and she said, it is my sister, and family had kind of come in that morning because they was going to tell her that she had cancer. And when she saw me, she said, okay, what's wrong? Y'all called the preacher. I thought, I'm your brother. But she saw me, and she said, you remember when you came in that morning? That's what I remembered about that morning, is her reaction to seeing the preacher. Why'd you call the preacher? And what's he doing here so early? Because she was out of town. But what she reminded me of, she said, you remember when I was all excited and you said, can I pray for you? And you laid your hand on me and the peace of God came in that room and I knew everything was going to be okay. You remember that? And I said, yes. And that's what she remembered. And I thought, that's the way I want to spend my life. Is when I came into the room, Jesus came in with me. That's being a light. whether you're in the high school or junior high hallways or at a tinker or in the military, wherever you are, when you come in, the peace of God comes in with you. Not because you're hi-ho and almighty, but because you're humbled yourself before God in prayer. Or if somebody has a crisis, you're the peace that passes understanding. I know the story about a little boy that was in church and is misbehaving, and his daddy snatched him up and was headed out the door with him, and they got to the door and the little boy grabbed the door facing and halted him, and his dad said, "Y'all pray!" He believes in prayer, doesn't he? Sometimes that's us, isn't it? Just hanging on the door facing, "Y'all pray!" But it all starts, effective communicating starts with prayer. They've been in earnest prayer for 10 days, waiting on God and saying, "What is it today that you want me to do?" Remember the phrase we was talking about the first this year? In any given situation, wherever you are, "God, do you want me to do something in this situation? Do you want to flow through me in this situation?" I'm telling you, that's a simple statement, but if we'll use that this year, when we're approaching something and we just, there's confusion, there's a need, there's something that's bigger than we are, just to stop and say, "God, would you have me do anything, or would you want to do anything through me in this situation?" That's powerful. Because I don't think we ask that enough. I think we're busy and we miss opportunities. I think that's when you study the Gospels and the New Testament, I think that's what we see and what gets so excited about is people that just saying, they're just stopping for a second and saying, "Lord, what do you want to do through me in this situation?" When they put Peter in prison, remember, he was laying there asleep. The angel has to wrap him on the side to get him awake. He's going to be executed in the morning. He's sleeping like a log. You know what I believe he's thinking? "Going home in the morning, praise the Lord." Huh? You can't take the peace out of a Christian that knows who they are in Christ. Because they just know they got a Father that loves them. They have a blessing with their name on it. I think this is what these men were doing too. Remember where Peter was before he came to Pentecost? A few days earlier he was denying and lying and cursing God. But he got up. Their first song was "Stand Up." When you've done all you can do, just stand. That's what Peter did. He had to get past what he had done. He had to get past his mess ups so he could be a witness today. He could have still been wild. How many knows when you mess up severely like Peter, 10 days to get up preaching again and win 3,000, that's pretty good. Because some of us want to wallow for a month when we really mess up. How many knows when you're wallowing, people's going to hell? Stop wallowing. You're not pig, you're sheep. I mean, those sheep don't wallow. They may stand there and go, "Bah!" But they don't wallow. Stop wallowing. We're referred to as sheep. Just stand there in prayer. Receive what God has for you. Receive what God... So they're one accord, one place. And there appeared on the tongue, fires the tongue on each of them. Heard a story one time about two old drunks that wandered in the church, and it was a Pentecostal church, and they were all up shouting and praising and speaking in tongues, and one drunk looked over to the other and said, "What is that?" The other drunk said, "I think that's the other devil." And the first one said, "Then how come we ain't got it?" Take when the Holy Spirit comes in and He wants to move through you in different ways, you're kind of like them guys. It's like, what is that? I mean, he said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Just don't close off to what God may want to do through you. Whatever that is. You know, people make fun of Benny Hinn and all he does. Well, you know what? He's preaching the Word. People are getting healed. Whether he's right or wrong, God will judge him. We don't have to. If you don't agree with him, just say, "Bless him, Lord." If you think he's putting out false stuff, just say, "Help him, open his eyes to see." Don't criticize. Remember when his disciples came, Jesus' disciples came back and they said, "Lord, we found this guy and he wasn't with us and he was casting out demons and we told him to stop." Remember what Jesus said? He said, leave them alone. If they're not against us, they're for us. I mean, those Benny and Oral and those men that just are flaming Pentecostals. They love Jesus. I know that. And if they're in error somewhere, God will take care of that. And even if they become deceptive, which I don't believe they will, but even if they do, and if that's what you feel, that's not going to help the body of Christ to be a witness in life. We need to be in one place and one accord, praying and seeking God for what you want me to do, not who you want me to judge. I think it is so cool that we can come in together and sing. We have a country flavor here in everything we do because I'm country. But to see people crying and praising and feel the Spirit comes in when Q and Alicia get up, and from a African-American background and the more, I call it soulish music, I love that. But to not make a distinction, but to see you saying, we're serving the same God. Red, yellow, black, and white, whether it comes out country or soul, it's Jesus.
All right.
I mean, those Jesus loves country people just as much as anybody else.
Yes.
Paul said, I reckon, didn't he? He was country. He didn't say, showing up true, did he? He said, I reckon, didn't he?
Yes.
One of my favorite preachers in the whole world was E.B. Hill. Just hated when he passed away. I've always wanted to, that was one of my goals, is to go to his church and sit through one of his services. And they say it was long. I heard him say one time, come down here to my church, don't expect to get out no noon. We get out at 2. You don't get out at noon? Go on down the street because there's plenty of them. Get out at noon. I love that kind of stuff. He's just saying, this is who we are. But I love it. And he'd say stuff like, the Bible says, verily, verily, truly, truly, or sure enough, sure enough. And I just tickle the heck out of this country kid, you know. But I love this preaching because he's going to dig something out of the Scripture and place it in your heart. You know? There's no division in race in the kingdom. We're family. And appreciate the difference and appreciate what we can learn from each other. Filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we need the Holy Spirit to tell us, does Ashley need extra loving today? How are you going to know if you haven't been praying? She looks like a little bouncing teenager all the time. But she's got her Jesus on her face, in her heart. But maybe she needs extra loving today. How are you going to know if you don't pray? How are you going to know, say, God loves you and it's going to be all right? How are you going to know? Because God says, I give you gifts, like a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom on who it is. We can see beyond the smile and say, tell me how you're doing today, really. I saw a show, maybe some of you saw this on Oprah the while back. It was a rerun, and it says, it had a bunch of teenagers, I think it's 64 teenagers from high school, and this is what they said, and I thought, this is so powerful. If you really knew me, you would know. Isn't that a good question? Good statement? If you really knew me, you would know this about me. And I'll never forget, one of the kids in there, he was the rich kid. You know, there's always classes, and I came from a little small town. We always had those we referred to as the rich kids. They always had the big houses and the big cars. Now we got new cars. Yell that they got new cars when they got a car at 16. They're just people of means. Good kids. But and one of the kids in that piece, he said, if you really knew me, you would know how rough it is right now. And all these other kids were just floored. Well, this is the rich kid. This is the kid's got, he's a kid's of means. And I don't remember if one of his parents had died or dad, or and he's going through some terrible times. And all the kids rallied around him. But it took somebody to come in and say, if you really knew me, you would know. See, that's being a witness in light. A witness to each other and a light to each other and to a lost and dying world. Both are needful and necessary. That's why we assemble together. It's encouraging to me when we assemble together and I see you smiling and see you raising your hands and praising the Lord and see you talking to someone or praying over someone. It's encouraging, isn't it? And so, being filled with the Holy Spirit, praying until the Holy Spirit comes and fills your heart. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. So, here's some powerful men of God and powerful men politically are gathered for the Pentecost festival. It says, and when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And you'd think if they heard all these men speak in their own language, there'd be less confusion. Wouldn't you? You'd think there'd be confusion if they were speaking in Arabic or something that they didn't understand. But no, there was confusion because they heard them speak in their own native tongue. And the confusion was, how can you do that? You're a Hebrew. How can you speak? And it gives all these verses, 9 and 10, give from all these places, and 11, give from different parts of the world and where they're from, gathered here for this great event. And these Galileans are standing up and they're speaking in their native tongue. And it says they're confused. I mean, this is what is confusing to them. They're saying, how do you do that? Listen, the Holy Spirit still wants to give you stuff that when sinners come, they'll say, how did you know that? How did you know to stop me and say, how are you doing really? How did you know to call me? How did you know to send me a card? How did you do that? It's not that they're confused on it. There's clarity there because the Holy Spirit's doing something, but the confusion comes in. It's like, how did you know? And I think the Lord wants to use us like that all the time. On a weekly, if not daily basis. Because we've sought the face of God and we've been praying and all of a sudden we just touch the one that needs the touch. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it fulfilling when somebody says, you just always seem to know what I need. Ooh, the Holy Spirit's used you. And we just, here's what we do. We just, there's this one that needs a touch, and this one that needs a touch, and we're just busy about our day saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And walk right by the needs. And God's saying, but I had this one I want you to touch today. And we miss the stuff that's really, that will make you, you'll go home and feel like that you've just accomplished, you just whooped demons all over Hades today. Because you touched somebody and you mattered in their life and you made a difference. I tell you something else it'll do. When we touch somebody else with the gospel, when we touch somebody else, this is what it does. It makes us, it doesn't change our situation, but it makes it just less stressful. Because we've invested in somebody else and God has now reinvested in us more power and more peace and more faith and more whatever we need. Because we've just given a piece of what we had away and God replenishes that always with more than what we had. And anybody can do it. One of my grandsons a few years ago was sitting out in a boat and it was a big police officer. Him and his dad was fishing and this big police officer was out there, big burly man, they said, and said, they was fishing along and my grandson looked up and said, do you love Jesus? Oh, he said, well, yes I do. Do you? He said, yep. Just kept fishing. And it touched the guy. Because some little kid said, you love Jesus? To somebody that would be big and threatening to him. And I thought, how many moments, God moments have we missed just saying somebody, said, maybe, do you love Jesus? Jesus loves you. I tell pastors that I'm around sometimes. Hey, Jesus loves you. Well, thank you. Because nobody ever tells them that. Well, they're the pastor. They know that. But it's just good to hear. It's just good to hear. I asked Adam if he would give a brief testimony about, because anybody can lead others to Christ and make a difference if they just will. If they'll just pray and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Guess how the Dilley family came back in through their kids. and they came to ground zero. And come up here real quick and tell them. Just, because I just thought this would be kind of inspiration to you guys to say, you know what? And I don't know everything about all your parents and stuff, or if they're in church or not. Just grab that mic right there. But just, yeah, I ask him just to say how Jesus used his children to bring them here. And now he's our youth pastor. But it started because somebody in his family got a hold of Jesus and then touched them.
And amazing stuff that it is. And I just want to point out of all the teens we have here, probably about half the parents are here in church, and the other half parents are not in church. And I think it's amazing for those that come whose parents don't come here, how amazing that is to see them week after week here on Sunday mornings for Bible study, here for worship, and at Ground Zero.
Amen.
But Brittany at the time was old enough to come to Ground Zero. And she came through invitations from people here at church and through her friendships at school. And it really goes down, and I've said this before, but sometimes it seems repetitive, but I think it's important because of her connection here that drew Cindy and I to church. And we hadn't been in church. We had only been married probably a year, maybe 2 years, when we moved back here and Brittany started going to church. And it was Easter time, and I said, well, you know, I'd been talking to Cindy, and it's a real difficult thing if you don't meet somebody and base that relationship on Christ. Bringing Christ into that relationship is very difficult, and it was tough, and I'm the son of a pastor, so Christ was in my life, but then I moved on and did my own thing. And I had talked to Cindy a couple times. I said, well, you know, we got this house. We have our family. We have a new son, Austin. And I said, God is really taking care of us. And I said, we really need to pay him back. And I didn't know a great way to say that other than we need to kind of give back because God has really blessed us. And they were just little drops here and there. And Cindy agreed. So we came to church. Love the country pastor here. I said, wow, this is some good stuff. We can understand it. I'd grown up in church, and my wife hadn't grown up in church. Had gone as a little child because they offered ice cream on the school bus or the church bus if she went. But that was her connection of church. So trying to find something that we both could like, and being the son of a pastor, I had my ideas of really what a pastor should be and what I wanted to hear. And I got to say, it's difficult to pacify me in that thing because I wanted it a certain way. But I love our pastor. And again, when you talked about praying at night, my son and I, Austin and I, we pray for our pastor and his wife and his family every night and all our friends. And we thank God for that because we love this church. But it came because my daughter was involved at Ground Zero, because somebody, some teenager, reached out to her at school and said, hey, why don't you come over here and check this out? She did, and she enjoyed it. And she was a different person because of it. And I remember coming up to pick her up one night, and I remember meeting Pastor Jack in the parking lot, and he said, well, what are you out doing tonight? I said, I just came to get my daughter Brittany. He goes, you just out here praising the Lord, huh? And I said, yep. And I thought, I better get after this. I thought, I better start getting involved in this. And came to church, and you say every now and then, about two or three times a year, you remind us of the time when you woke up and said, isn't it great not to vote when you come to church? And I remember hearing that sermon one Sunday sitting here, and I said, that's it, we're done. You know, you can vote if you want, you can vote, whoever. I will be here every Sunday that I can. And that was the end of my voting. So always pay attention, because you never know when that one comment will change your life forever. Got to church, got involved little by little, and then Spencer, as he got older, you know, sometimes you got to find the right connection. Some of you didn't find the right connection for Ground Zero right off the bat when you were old enough for Ground Zero. And then Spencer became involved in Ground Zero. It's kind of about the time Brittany was leaving Ground Zero, and Spencer got involved, and then Spencer invited some friends, and it's amazing what a unit we have. But what I want you guys to grab out of this is never miss an opportunity to invite somebody, whether you're an adult and you can invite friends that are going through things, friends at work, teenagers especially, invite someone at school. And I remember Tubbs one time, Spencer invited him, and I said, well, so you're here because of Spencer. He said, no, I'm here because of your wife. She threatened me if I didn't come that she'd hurt me. So any way you look at it, there's an invitation, sometimes a threat with it. But I remember Tubbs coming, and Tubbs being involved now, and being in the music aspect, doing the sound of it. And I think, how strange is that? A year ago, or a little over a year ago, probably wouldn't be near a church. And he said, I wasn't into that. And I asked Tubbs one time about a friend of his. He said, well, he's not really into that. And I said, a year from now, or a year at that point, were you into Christ? Were you into church? No, I wasn't. So don't miss an opportunity, and don't think that Christ can't touch somebody's life through you, because you never know whose life you may touch. Sometimes we want to keep it our little secret, our little clubhouse, our little great place to be on our own. But we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our parents, with our family, with our friends, teenagers especially. Never miss an opportunity. But adults, there's people going through things next door, at work, all over the place that you see. Don't miss that opportunity to touch somebody's life. Through Brittany going to Ground Zero, now our family is involved, and now Austin being six. Are we going to church? This was last Sunday. I said, no, we're not having church. Oh, man. He's disappointed not coming and not learning. Daddy, I lost my Bible. Couldn't find his Bible. If you saw his room, you'd understand why. But it turned out to be up at Ground Zero. But he wants to know where his Bible is. He wants to be in class learning things. He wants to sing the music. And when they grow up in that way, it's a lot easier to keep them grounded in that. And he misses the fellowship. And then on the second thing, we had a New Year's Eve party at our house. And I apologize, adults. Adults were asking, can we come? It's not for you. Sorry. It was for the teens. It was for SNL. And we had, I think, 17 teenagers there. It was not one of those parties. You have to wonder where everybody is. They were all playing Guitar Hero video game. Amazing guitars we have in our youth group, by the way, on electric guitar hooked into a video game. But there were people that you can be proud of that hold each other accountable. And so when you do the fellowship and accountability, that also grows, and that stretches into the adults also. And then last night, you guys went bowling, and a number of you were bowling together. Tubbs, were your parents there? Went with Tubbs' parents, and I thought it was Spencer going with them, and then Jonathan was there, so I don't know, and Andrew was there, I guess. Andrew wasn't there? That was another time? Okay, anyway. The fellowship that is created here over school lines and over church lines, you guys went skiing last week. If three of you went skiing last week, did you go with Rancho Village? Over church lines with relationships we formed with other churches. And like Jack said, we can cross over from country to soul, whatever. We can cross over from Carl Albert to Choctaw. And we can cross over from Rancho Village Baptist Church to Prayer Faith World Outreach. So never miss an opportunity for God to use you to touch somebody's life. As Jack said, take an opportunity to say, do you need an extra touch today?
Amen. Thank you, Adam. And all that he said and has God has accomplished through him, just I want you to remember that it started through his daughter saying, would you come? And I'm sure whoever it was that touched Brittany never thought, wow, I'm going to win a whole family here. And their kids are going to grow up in church. And their little one's going to know Jesus and be disappointed when they don't get to go to church. None of that was, you know, that's God's stuff. Somebody reached Billy Graham. I don't know who it was. They've written about him. I remember reading, but I don't know who he is. But how many knows it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It's written down. God knows who reached Billy Graham. And all those souls will be accounted to them as well. And the person that reached him that reached Billy Graham. And how many knows if the person that you reached never won a soul? They're going to spend eternity in heaven because of you. Because of you. It all starts with prayer. And praying until the Holy Spirit comes. And then not only that, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit draws them. Says they are all amazed and marvel, saying one to another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And so we let Jesus do the working. For some of you maybe that would love to be a bigger light and a bigger witness, but you feel clumsy. Anybody feel clumsy when you're witnessing? Does it ever go away, you know? But here's the thing. I think God is so proud of us. You know, when you see your kids doing something, they're kind of clumsy at it, but they really want to do it, you know? Watch me, Daddy. I think that's the way it is when we make our way through witnessing. We feel like a klutz and like, oh, what did I say? And what, you know, did they get anything out of this? I've had guys when I was doing construction that I'd witnessed to, and they had to listen. I was the boss. I'm their employer. But I just witnessed to them, give them scripture. And they go out and get drunk and party and do their thing. And I think, it's like talking to a fence post. But every time the Holy Spirit prompts me, I just give it to them anyway. Because it's not about how you feel or what it looks like. It's about following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then I had several of the guys that I was witnessing to back then serve God now and are serving the Lord. One of them came in one night and I led him to the Lord years later here at our church. He just said, I just knew whenever I come back to the Lord or come to the Lord, I knew you was going to be the one to lead me. Now show me how. And I thought, man, it gets in. You can't look at what the outside looks like. You got to just know that when you give the word of God, it'll accomplish the thing that God sent it to do. It will not return void. And so they were all amazed, and the Holy Spirit's doing its working. And one of the things they did, I think, that's so key in the new church is they really listened to what the people were saying. It says they were amazed and they were perplexed in verse 12. How many of so some people that come to you is going to be amazed and some is going to be perplexed? Both of them need Jesus. You know what they said? Some of them were saying about the people that were standing up trying to win souls. I think they're drunk. Let me ask them. If you came and you were just being a klutz and you're trying to witness the Word of God and you're just chopping it all up because you're nervous and stuff and they say, are you drunk? What would you say? Would it hurt your little feelings? You know what Peter said? It's too early for that, that's all he said. It's only like the third hour of the day there. It's too early to be drunk. He didn't try to make it holy. Oh, we are men of God and we would never touch alcoholic beverages. Praise His holy name. No, he said, it's too early, guys. Come on, think with me. Just get on their level. Listen to what they're saying and don't get offended. Because they're lost. They're walking in darkness. If I turned the lights out in this building and said, run! You would hear all kinds of clatter and people falling over chairs and bumping heads and might hear a curse or profanity or two, Because whatever in the heart is going to come out. But I'm just saying, you would be walking in darkness. You wouldn't know how to get out and you wouldn't know how to you'd be doing your best, but you're in darkness. That's the way everybody that we witness to that's not born again is. They're in darkness. So don't get offended at what they say. They think, well, I've heard people say, I don't want none of your religious junk. And I don't get offended at that. My heart hurts for them. I just tell them, boy, I know what you mean. I don't want none of that religious junk either. I've been there. 20 more of that. I'm with you. They're like, what? Get with them. Remember we preached about the Jesus when he said, I need to go through Samaria? A Jew going through Samaria? Come on. Well, I need to. And I don't even know if he knew why he needed to until he got there and he sat down. But the fact is, he had prayed and he was full of the Holy Spirit and he began to speak and say, do you need to touch this one? The woman came to the well and remember what he talked to her about? He didn't talk to her about fishing or about husbands. She needed some counsel in marriage. She'd been married 5 times and was shacking up with a guy, but she needed some marriage counseling. Did he mention marriage once? No. Yeah. They were at the well, so he said, give me a drink of water. Where are you? What's relevant? What are they saying? That all mattered in the new church. They listened to what they were saying and they addressed the issues. Peter could have just overlooked this and said, oh, just don't say nothing. They're just ignorant. Let's don't mention it. But he said, they're not drunk. It's too early. That's not very preachy, is it? But it relates to them. And then he told them what it was. Because he didn't offend them and he didn't get holy on them. And now he can tell them, this is what it is. And he loved them enough not to be offended. I mean, if we're going to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively, we just have to go around with unconditional love saying, God created you and I love you. I don't know where you are on a journey, and I don't know what God wants me to do. I may just plant today. I may get to plant a seed. May just be through a little prayer over them. May be through just, how you doing? Here's one that I think is powerful. Ever have anybody come up to you and say, I'm praying for you? God's had you on my heart. Oh, that's powerful, isn't it? When he said, me and Austin pray for the pastor every night, I thought, yes. I love that stuff. And just to go up to somebody and say, I've been praying for you. Now don't lie, pray for them, okay? I've told people this before, you know, just you can just see something in their countenance and say, I'm going to spend a season of prayer for you. Just let me know if you need any prayer, if you need anything. And they're like, thank you. Just being a witness in a life, it'll transform your life. Because it does something for you that you can't get anywhere else. And so they were talking about things that were relevant. They were listening. God put us a listening ear inside of us this year so we can hear what sinners and hurting people around us are saying and give us discernment and give us a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom so we'll know where to touch them. It's a great place to live, isn't it? Being relevant and being available for the Holy Spirit to flow through. I've seen a whole construction site when I was in construction change. You know, people just a filthy foul mouth. Go up and use God's name in vain. I remember saying, well, now God didn't have nothing to do with that. And you can see the whole countenance change. Or you'd be talking to somebody and you say something about Jesus. Say, well, I'm a Christian. And all of a sudden their language just transformed. Just because somebody did something that wasn't preachy, it wasn't holier than thou, it's just mentioning the name of Jesus, just bringing Jesus into the picture and letting him be relevant and touching people where they are. What does God want to do through you? What family does God want you to touch? What teenager does God want you to touch that will touch their family and bring in youth pastors and workers in the kingdom of God? You never know. You never know. But that's how it starts, saying, I want to be intentional on being a witness and communicating the gospel for Jesus this year. I want to be intentional. How many knows whatever you want to do with intention, on purpose, you'll do? How many knows every day you get up on purpose and go to work? And you know there's benefits in it, right? What if they called you tomorrow and said, just don't come in this year if you don't want to, and we'll just pay you. You'll never miss a check. Your lazy side would say, yeah! Huh? Yeah. That's what it was. They'd just say, little ice on the road today. I think I'm going to stay home. My check's coming anyway. I mean, if we're not faithful witness and faithful light and faithful work in the kingdom, a check ain't coming. Because if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Let's sow abundantly this year for the kingdom of Christ. Make it intentional. Because of what it does for the kingdom, what it does for the person we're touching, and what it does for you and me. Because it brings significance to us in a way that nothing else in this world can do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for realigning us today and saying, you know what? One of the greatest privileges we have as Christians is to share a message of hope with a lost and dying world. We ask in Jesus' name that you would sharpen us this year, that you would realign our focus, and that we would see lost people and saved people. We'd see hurting people and healthy people. But we will see as we look into the eyes of those around us that's under our sphere of influence. Because we've prayed and we've asked God, make me a blessing today. What do you want to do through me in this situation? What do you want to do through me today, Lord? Let me be a part of what you're doing today. God, that we'll intentionally get up and be a part of your plan each and every day. That's how you started the church, was through people praying and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And on a day when a fisherman that had denied you just a few days before was praying and full of the Holy Spirit, got up and gave the Word of God, the living Word of God, and 3,000 souls came because he got up and said, what do you want to do through me today? He didn't get offended when he was called drunk, and he didn't get offended when there was confusion and people was perplexed. He just got up and loved on the people. people at Jerusalem that day and said, you know what? I serve a God that loves you. I've got a God that has a blessing with your name on it. Would you come and receive? We give you permission today, Holy Spirit, to tap us on the shoulder and say, this is the one. This is the one at the well. This is the one you need to speak to today. This is the one you need to love on today. And then just pour through us unconditional love so we can make a difference in the individuals around us this year like we never have before. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, we've had prayer warriors that will meet you at the altar for whatever needs you may have today. Anyone have a need today and you need prayer? Prayer warriors are coming and they'll meet you at the altar today to lift your need up before the Lord. You know, sometimes as Christians, we say, well, nobody has called and nobody knows about my need. You know what? Sometimes you just need to go to the people that are waiting and have their arms open and let them pray over you and say, this is my need. Because sometimes we sit with hurts and crises and things in our heart thinking, why don't anybody care? And the fact is, it's not people don't care, it's just they don't know. We're not all knowing. And so that's why we open the altars here at the end of the service at Prayer of Faith. And if you have a need, we have more prayer warriors that will meet you at the altar and pray over you and your prayer need. Anyone else? These are praying today. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just lift these up at the altar and we ask in Jesus' name, as they have come today with their request, with their need, we ask that you would touch them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let them feel your peace and power and love and grace and joy. I pray for direction for those that are seeking direction today. And those that have needs today, in Jesus' name, that you would meet them at their point of need and bring clarity and light and hope and help and strength.